on the top of Ibn Amr Aleph by the two dots. Now, if he's not allowed to restrict, we said that he's not allowed to restrict her from going to the Beit Avon and Beit Mishteh, but the one exception we said is Im Hayatoi Mishum Tavar Acha Rashai. If he claims that there is some other issue involved, then he's mutar. My davar acher, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmo Mishum Bnei Adam Prutzim Shimutzoim Sham. So there's people, inappropriate people at these places, or the activities are inappropriate, and therefore he's trying to prevent her from mixing or socializing with these individuals. So Amar Rav Ashi Lo Amar Ela Ditchazek. That's only if it's established that these types of people, these prutzim are found there, but lo itchazek lo kol kaminei. He can't establish, he can't make this claim. Right? He can't make a claim, all of a sudden don't go there because there's prutzim over there. It has to be well established that these types of places or these types of activities end up with prutzim there. And therefore he's restricting her for her own benefit, but also because it's an inappropriate place for her to be found. Now in terms of Beis HaMishteh, what is Beis HaMishteh? Because over here, it sounds like Beis HaMishteh is Beis HaMishteh Shel Rishus, possibly. The Marashah suggests maybe that it would be different if you have a Beis HaMishteh Shel Mitzvah. Whereas when we're talking about in our Gemara, what we talked about yesterday and today, was a Beis HaMishteh Shel Rishus, a social place where people socialize, people got together, rather than the Mitzvah being Sameach, the Chasen V'Kalo. All right. Imam Raman asks Shitamri, if he says what you have to tell over what I said to you or what you said to me. So I says, Vatema, let her say it over. What's the big deal? Why does she, why does that cause any consternation? Amar Abiyuda, Amar Shmuel, Dvarim Shel Klon. They are things that are embarrassing, right? That's not stuff that you wouldn't want to speak about publicly. And therefore, it would cause her to be embarrassed or feel that it's discussing something inappropriate. Therefore, she's not willing to say it, or it's not appropriate for her to say it, and therefore when he insists that she says it, right, those are grounds for her to demand a divorce and get her ksuba. Or that she has to go and fill and dump in the garbage. Again, the Gemara says, what's the big deal? Let her go do it. I mean, why is that a grounds for divorce? So, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel Shetemalei Vino Fetzet. So we're not talking about a case in the Ashpa, but rather this is, if you look at Rashi, Shetemal Avin Ofetzet. This is it's the first narrow line in Rashi. Lachashem Tishamesh Bimalei Rachma Shichvat Zera Harutz Bergalav V'Tinafen So Shloi Klod V'Titaber. So this is some sort of birth control that after they have relations that she'll get up and run around in order that the Zera will not be collate. And that's right in their day. The Gemara discusses in a number of places this idea that if a woman would stand up afterwards or can somehow or turn over, that she could prevent the pregnancy from or the conception from taking place. So here again, this idea that she should run around afterwards in order to prevent conception. Says, right, that she should fill up 10 buckets of water and dump them in the garbage dump. Bishlam al Shmuel Meshumach Yotzivitein Ktuba. Right, that makes sense according to Shmuel. That's why she should give up her mu. El Lamasnisa, according to this Bryce, my nafkalamina tiabi. What's the difference? Take 10 buckets of water, pour them into the ashma, and be done. Why do we have to worry about it? Samar Rabbi Bachana, Rabbi Yochanan, Ibn Shneiras Keshote. Because then she's acting like someone who has mental deficiencies or is crazy. So therefore, she doesn't want to be seen as someone who is lacking in any way, and this is going to make people wonder about her abilities. So Amar Rav Kahana, Amadur Dishto Shlo Tishel V'Shlo Tashkiel Nafek Varo Rechaim V'Tanor. So if he takes a neder that his wife should not lend out and not borrow, right? A Nafek Vara, or sifter sieves, Rechaim a mill, v'tanur and an oven. I mean, these are the basic items used in baking of bread, right, or cooking. And women constantly are either trading or borrowing these types of items. So if he takes her out of the circuit by saying that she's not allowed to lend out these items or borrow these items, Yotzi v'tein ketumba. He has to, she gets a divorce and no ksuba, and she gets her ksuba. He has to pay his ksuba because Messiah Shem Rav Shkenu Tal. Because he's causing her to have a bad name among the neighbors, that she won't lend out, she won't share, she won't be involved. I mean, he's taking her out of the normal social network, and that's not acceptable. That she should not borrow or lend out. Because again, this idea that he's causing her to have a bad name, and that is not acceptable to her, won't allow her to live a normal life. What happens if she makes the neder? Right? Or she will not make clothing for his children. So the same thing, if she's not willing to do these things, right, then because of her own reluctance, then she loses her ksuba, because then it affects his name. You know, his wife is so miserly, his wife won't, doesn't make, his kids aren't dressed properly. So since it'll affect how the neighbors or other people view him, right, then she loses out her ksuba because she's taken a neder that impacts on not only on herself, but on him. And the same thing the other way. When he takes the neder, even though technically it might be his stuff, or it's not such a big deal that she could uphold it, nevertheless, because of the social impact that it has, we say that she's entitled to leave and get her ksuba. Okay, now the Gemara is going to go. So far we talked about Yotzi B'Tein Ketubah, right? That in these instances, she can either demand a divorce. The Tosus in the beginning of the Perek and other Rishonim discuss whether the Yotzi means Kofin Otov. We actually force him to give a divorce, or simply Yotzi is an Eitz Tova. We tell him that it's a good, she's entitled to a divorce, or if she can convince him to divorce him, then she gets her ksuba. In all these cases, we said Be'itein Ketubah. She's entitled to a ksuba. Now we're swapping over to cases where he can divorce her and she is not entitled to a ksuba. I mean, there's some sort of failing on her part. These are women who go out without getting ksuba. Over Eldat Moshe V'Yudit, one who violates the religious principles of Moshe V'Yudit, Vezui Dat Moshe. What's Dat Moshe? What does it mean to violate Dat Moshe? According to this way, Rashi's learning right now, Dat Moshe is someone who violates a Torah prohibition, right? Violates a Torah prohibition. So Doras Moshe is Machilato Sheinu Musar. She feeds him stuff that hasn't had Meisr take over it. Umisham Shoto Nida. Or she does not go to the mikvah, is not matar herself, and therefore the relations while she's in Edom. But lo kotzel ochala, she doesn't separate chala from the food. V'noderet v'inim kayamet. She takes nidarim and does not keep those nidarim. Vezu dat yudit. So going to Rashi, what's dat yudit? Shenagu v'not yisrael v'apagav lo ktiva. It's a minhug of v'not yisrael to do this, even though it's not explicitly written. Yotza v'rosha perua. She goes out with her hair uncovered. Tave b'shuk, she twines in the shuk. Medaberet mikol adam, she speaks to anybody she sees. Abishol omer afa mikalelet yoldav bifanav. One who curses his children in front of him. Let's see what that is. Tarpamen afa kolanit. Also another woman who is loud. Vezu kolanit. Who is the one who's a kolanit? What's a kolanit? She medaberet mitoch beita, that she speaks in her house. Ushchenah shom im kola. And her neighbors hear her voice. Right. So now let's go through each of these cases. Machlit machilto shenu musar. Right, she feeds him stuff that does not have maishus taken off. Hey chidami, what's the case? Id yodo. If he knows that it's still tevel, that she didn't take it off, nifrosh, let him take it off, right? What's he eating it then for? Id lo yodo, mino yodo. If he doesn't know that she's not taking off maishus, then how does she know that to get rid of her because she's not taking them? So my says, Latzricha d'amar lei ploni kohen tikenli et akri. She says that I went to this kohen and he took off the stuff, he took care of it for me. But Azel v'shayli, the husband goes and asks the kohen, v'shtakach shikra, and he says, lo ayu dvar me'olam. She never came here, I never did any of this for her. So that's how he's able to identify. She says it was good and was done, so he eats it. And then later on he bumps into the kohen and says, oh, thank you for taking care of my wife. And the kohen says, I don't know who your wife is, never saw her, so he knows that she was lying about taking up chumas and maestros. Okay, umisham shtoni nida echidam idia da. If he knows that she's a nida nifrosh, then don't have relations with her. If he doesn't know she's a nida, then he has to depend on her because she has nemanus by nida. How do we know that a nida is neman to count for herself for yamei nidash? Nemar safalash shivat yamim. It says by zavas she will count 7 days. La li atzma, that she herself will kick the counting. So therefore, what? She either has nemanus, and therefore he doesn't have any reason to question her, or if he knows there's an issue, then he has to be mafresh. He has to separate himself so that he's not pogea benida. So that he says that she went to a shayla for a chacham, and he said, well, you're a tohor. At the dam, also shayla v'ishtachach shikra, and he went to the chacham, and he found out that she never went to him, or that it wasn't matahar, or v'yibay simik rav Yehuda. Or the possibility like Rav Yehuda, Dam Rav Yehuda, Chuzkuka Anida b'shchinuta, someone who's muksak as Anida with her neighbors, meaning that she is wearing the clothing we talked about before, about Anida used to live in a separate house, used to wear different clothing because of the problems of Tuma. Tuma was a big issue for them. So therefore, if she is Chuzkuka as Anida b'shchinuta, Bala Loke Alemishum Nida, her husband will get Malkus if he has relations with her because she is Anida. I mean, that's enough evidence that she's Anida. If she's dressed like a nida and she acts like a nida, that's enough to make her assumed as a nida. So to over here, he gets together with his wife, and then the neighbors tell him that, oh wait, your wife's a nida. She was just, you know, wearing her nida clothing. She was living in the area that, you know, designated for a nida. So therefore, he's there and able to find out, right? He finds out about her being a nida only after the fact, right? But therefore, that's enough to... enough for him to divorce her without a ksuba. Below kotzula chala, so we have the same problem here. She doesn't separate off chala. Hey chidami, either yoda dinif. Right, if he knows that she's not taking off chala, let him take it off himself. Either lo yoda, if he doesn't know, no yoda. How is he going to know that she's not taking off? Again, so let's see. Chadam la ploni givel tikein liyata isa. This guy who does the kneading, right, the kneader, or where you take it to get kneaded, or mixer. He fixed the isa. Again, he goes and asks him. The guy says nothing. No such thing ever happened, and therefore he's, you know, identified the problem. But no deret ve'ena mikayamet. She takes nedarim and she doesn't keep them. Da'amar mar ba'avan nedarim banimaitim, because she's putting his children at risk. Because we know what that person ba'avon nedarim, the sin of nedarim banimaitim, the children die. Shenemar al titein et picha la'achti et bisarecha. Don't let your mouth, right, cause your besarecha, your offspring, to be ruined or thrown off target. Vezuhein, maase yodav shel adam, what's the creation of a person's hands? Abiyomer, bonov, ubinotav, that's his children. Nachman amar hacha, l'shav hikiti et b'nechem. It says, for naught I've hid your children, but l'shav, what does l'shav mean here? L'shav al iske shav, right, because of iske shav or iske shav, nidarim, right, taken for no reason, or taken that are not completed. So because of those nidarim, ikiti et b'nechem, I will hit your children. Tanya, harib meir meir, kol yodeh b'ishto sheno deret v'ena mekayemet, everybody knows that his wife takes nidarim and does not keep those nidarim, yachzor v'yiderena, should go back and make her be madir again. So I says, what do you mean? If he makes more nedarim for her, my matakinla, what is he helping her for? She's going to violate more nedarim, right? That's not going to straighten her out. He should try to provoke her. They should titor b'fanav v'yaferla, that she will take the nedarim in front of him, and therefore he can be made for them. So that way he can be in control. He wants the wife to take the nedarim in front of him so that he can actually be made for these nedarim, because he knows she will not keep them. So he should try to instigate his wife to make these nedarim while he's around, rather than when he's not there. Some are low, they said back to Rabbi Meir, "Ein adam dar im nochosh b'kfifo." Nobody wants to live with a snake in the basket, meaning that he's taking a huge risk here. Right? He doesn't want to put himself in this. Why? A snake can always, you can stay with a snake, but a snake all of a sudden can bite you, right, without you knowing. Right? It'll turn on you all of a sudden. So same thing here with his wife. Just why? Because what happens the one time that he's not provoking her, and she takes a nether, and then she's not mekayim it, right? So then he's going to be in trouble. So he wants to live with a woman who takes the nedarim, doesn't keep them, and he's going to have to try to provoke her to do the nedarim in front of him. That's not a reasonable request or assumption for the marriage to continue. Tanya Rayrudo Merkel Debi Shoshino Kotzulo Khala Yaksavi Afri Shakharal. So we just says anybody knows that his wife doesn't take off challah, he should go and be mafrish after she's there. Right? Nobody wants to live with the snake. Meaning what happens one time that he doesn't see her making the challah, he doesn't see her making the bread, he doesn't get there in time, then he's gonna be in trouble.
He can't. You just saying that she doesn't get a ksuba for that?
Yeah, it sounds like that he should just rectify the situation. Right. Live with it. So the Gemara says, no, again, which is generally the way we look at it, is that we don't force him to be in a position where he always has to be on his toes. One who says it about chala, then certainly about nidar. The one who says it about nidarim, there'll be times where, you know, he'll sit down to eat, he won't remember, he'll, you know, get caught without seeing it, so that he doesn't want to.
I would say that's because the Durham, it could be you don't know about it. Challah, if you just say every time I eat, I take challah, that's it, you'll never, you know, you have control. You might forget, but you have control, as opposed to the Durham.
Right, so Rashi says in the Durham, it's not something that people do every day, whereas challah is something that you have to be mafish all the time because she's baking all the time. That's what Rashi says, it's a shkiach issue. I think you also can argue that since technically, he has the right to be made for the neder when he hears about it, right? So as soon as he hears about it, he can be made for it. So you could say, you know, Rabbi Akiva talks about the fact that when someone violates, if a woman takes a neder, violates the neder, and then her husband is made for it, that's still a problem. I mean, that she's still a chote in those cases. So therefore, you're right. Even in the Durham, you'd want to say, you know, even if he can be made for it later, we don't want her to be in a position where he's at. But Rash says, lo shchichi. That's the difference between them. All right. So we said over here that what's considered a minhag Yisrael is that the women cover their hair. So Mar says, Rosh HaParuah D'Oraisi. What do you mean that's a minhag that the women cover their hair? That's Minatorah that the women cover their hair. Dechtivu Farah, Rosh HaYisha. So we learned it out from Sota, that they uncover the woman's hair. Mimashma, what? That her hair was covered prior to that she wore her hair covered. V'tanah debei Rabbi Shmuel Azar lefnei Tzel shelo yitzu b'frua rosh. That's a warning, but that's the halacha that a woman cannot go out before a rosh. De'oraisa, so this is a very important gemara. De'oraisa, kalto shapir, domi. That me de'oraisa, a keep like this, a kippa. I think the gemara in Shabbos, Mishnah is in Shabbos, talk about a woman walking with certain hair coverings, which are considered okay. So there, I think they call it a kippa. Some sort, it's like a netting or an area that covers the central part of the hair. That's what it seems like. That yivid afilu kalta nami osur, right? The minhag ha'am, or the das yehudis, is that not only, that's not enough, that's not sufficient, but she must cover all her hair. So, Gemara says, Amar Asi Amar B'yokhan kalta ein ba mishum perua rosh, right? So he says, a kalta doesn't have a problem on perua rosh. If she wears a kalta, this kippah, and then she's not considered having her hair uncovered. Havi ba Rabbi Zeira heicha. Where are you talking about? Ilema b'shuk, if she's out on the shuk, dat yehudit, then it's clear that dat yehudit, the minhag ha'am is, or whatever you call dat yehudit, whether it's a minhag or it's a right, a strong takana, whatever the dat yehudit is, that already would cover. She can't walk out of that. Elo b'chotzer. But then in the chotzer, Gemara says, Im gein lo anachta bat Avraham Avinu sheshev etach ha'bala. No woman will want to get married and stay with her husband if she has to keep a kalta, and even in the chotzer. She's going from one chatzah to the other chatzah with the mavoi, then a kalta is sufficient. So you see from here that there are areas where a woman does not need to cover her hair, right? There are areas, first of all, the Gemara says in her own chatzah, she will not need to cover her hair.
Even if other people come.
Right, so that's the question today. So first of all, there's the Gemara in Yoma. So you have to deal with one Gemara in Yoma is about Kimchis. It says there that Kimchis had 7 children that were Kohanim Gedolim. Gemara says, wants to know, but Mezachita, right? What is she? What was her schus? Right. So she says that Koros, that the Koros Beiti Lo Ru'u Tzeirai, that the beams of her house never saw her hair. Right. So we see that there was a Milo. Obviously, it had to be Lefnim Mishur Sedin. If that was the din, then what was her big Milo? Right. So it was Lefnim Mishur Sedin. So she was Makbid that even in her own house she covered her hair. So you see that there is, the Gemara talks about that being a Milo. Now again, that's a Milo, that Namikar Adin. The real question here, and that's what the Shonim deal with, is what is considered, what's a shuk, and what is a chatzah, right? That's the question. Is it literally that when it's a shuk, meaning that outside in the shuk, and chatzer means chatzer no matter how many people are there? Or shuk and chatzer are maybe indications of a type of place, right? Amount of people. So therefore, if your house turns into a shuk, maybe she would have to cover her even in the house. Right? And technically, if the shuk was like a chatzer, which is unusual, that won't be the case, then maybe she wouldn't have to cover her hair. So maybe she's out in the middle of nowhere, right, and nobody's around, then maybe she wouldn't have to cover her hair. So that's a possibility, and that's what a lot of the poskim deal with, the fact that maybe if there's already three people, that's considered like a shuk, right, and therefore she would have to cover her hair. But that's the main issue, is when does something turn from a chotzer into a shuk? That's number one. Number two is, do you see that there's an in-between stage? Right, which is that if it's not your chutz, it's not your private house, where a lot of women don't cover their hair in their house, right, when there's only their family at home or only their children at home, some of them won't cover their hair. But if someone comes to the door, they will cover their hair, because that's a public shuk. So that's, when does that change to from her private house to the shuk? And then number two is that we see here that there's an independent state, which is that mechutz the chutzer derech mavul. That even when it's not her house, but it's not the shuk yet, there's this half range where she's moving from one chutz to the other chutz, which is not out in the public, but she has to cover her hair, but not fully. Right? That's chutz the chutz derech mavul, where she has this kalta. Now, whatever this kalta seems to be a large part of her hair. It's not a, it's not as comprehensive as the Das Yehudis, which says they have to cover all her hair. How much hair is covered by the kalta is also going to be a question. What does a kalta mean? Right? How much hair is left over, not left over? That's the question.
So how do people deal with this? You know, people don't cover their hair and they say...
Right, so this...
It seems from the rice is at least a cover.
Yeah, they have to cover. Right, so that's the, there are two... This Gemara is one Gemara. The other big Makor is the Gemara in Brachos that says, Se'ar Be'isha Ervo. Right, Se'ar Be'isha is an Ervo. Now there it has implications. It has major implications because you're not allowed to daven in front of an Ervo. So therefore, if you say... That's the context of the Gemara is that. So that's the question there. Some posts wanted to try to say that maybe Seir B'Yishe Erva is only application by Kriya Shema and Tefillah. That's what it is. It's only a Seir B'Yishe Erva, because that's the context of the Gemara. But that doesn't seem, from our Gemara over here, that doesn't seem so, right? That doesn't seem so simple. Most of the Rishonim Achronim don't read it that way. But they say Seir B'Yishe Erva is a general principle. It has implications by Kriya Shema and Shema Nesvi, because it has implications that you can't dive in front of an erva. And if a woman doesn't have her hair covered and Seir B'Yishe is considered an erva, then you are not allowed to daven in those places.
Plus, it could be that you're not connected at all. It could be that even if it's not an erva, this Gemara is not tied into an erva.
Right, so there are
a law. You have to cover
your hair, even if it's not an erva. So there are others who say that Seir B'Yishe's erva is different because it wasn't an inherent erva. There are other erva, private areas, those are inherently erva. Hair is not inherently an erva, except what? Because they cover their hair, because women cover their hair, because of my hair, that she's not allowed to go rosh, that makes it into an erva when she uncovers her hair.
So it might be different. From this girl, you have to cover your hair.
Right, so she would have to cover her hair, but it may not be an erva, which would have implications, right?
But some people like the Tefillah quote, I don't know, different rabbis will say.
There's only one misquoted source not to cover your hair.
Yeah.
It's the one misquoted source, is the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says today, since the women go, Prue Rosh, that women go, maybe it's no longer an erva, right? But that's what, so most people quote it as being a source that, well, oh, it's not erva, you don't have to cover your hair anymore. That's not what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Aruch HaShulchan says that maybe
you could daven
because it's not an erva, because women normally go Prue Rosh. But again, now come back to the chiluk that we just made about erva. Nobody would suggest that what... If a woman has her thigh uncovered or something like that, then they could dive in front of it. Oh, because they all go with their thighs uncovered, that's okay. No, because that's inherent erva. Since hair is erva, it's generated by the covering of the head. If women no longer cover their hair, maybe the status of erva is dropped. Now, it's a mechudish thick Aruch HaShulchan to start with. And then people misquote it to say that the Aruch HaShulchan says you don't have to cover your hair. That's not what he says.
And I'm saying the stem of the two are not connected. That means for a Jewish girl to cover her hair, woman to cover her hair. Now the fact that probably what it was, that in those days women covered their hair, stam, a non-Jewish woman covered her hair, that's why it became erva. I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Because it's hard to say, if you say that it became an erva because it's from the Torah, from the Rabbanon, that's what it is, you're supposed to cover your hair, then what does it mean today we don't cover our hair? Who doesn't cover their hair today? You know, the halacha still exists, they're supposed to cover your hair.
Right.
So it must be talking about other people. You know what I'm saying? It almost feels like two separate halachas.
It could be.
Not
right.
connected, because if they're connected, then...
Right, that's possible. I mean, I'm not saying, I'm just saying that to get the Arka Shulchan's Kiddush, you have to say that there's, the erva is different than normal erva. If it's inherent erva, it doesn't matter that women go around puri rosh now.
Which right, and yes, they're looking at non-Jewish girls.
Right. But not necessarily, because if Jewish women start...
Because Jewish women have to wait because of this.
Can't say, but, it could be that because of their covering their hair, it turns to erva. If they don't, they violate it. The women who did it violated the halacha, but still maybe they are hofich. It to be not erva anymore. That's a general. Right, so you have questions like this. First of all, Rav Moshe had to deal with it a lot. Rav Moshe, in his Chubos, in the Igus Moshe, right, he dealt with it because he had he has a mechudosh of din in the mechitza. Most people view mechitza as a din in the stakus. That you can't see the other side. Moshe said that mechitza is a din in negiah, that they can't touch. So Moshe's dinim in mechitza are lower than others because he just needs it up to katef. He needs it up to the shoulder so that they can't touch across the mechitza. So therefore, Rav Moshe has the issue that people can actually see each other across the mechitza, or according to Rav Moshe, a glass mechitza would be just fine. Because you're not trying to prevent histaklus. Again, it's a chiddush of Rav Moshe, that it's not a din in histaklus, it's a din in negiah of touching. So therefore, a glass mechitza would work fine. So emotion, other places, has to deal with the issue that what? That you might have a problem. Mechitza may not be a problem of mechitza, as it say, but my problem of erva. That the women who come, he says nowadays, women come to shul with their hair uncovered. Sometimes he says they even come with their arms uncovered. He says more so. He says then you can't daven because they're there, because there's an erva there and you can't daven. So he talks about the problem of mechitza. You might have to raise the mechitza or have to deal with the mechitza, not because of a din in mechitza, but because of a din in erva. That's one. The other one is, how far can he... Moshe also has a chiddush that the Gemara says, tefach ba'isha erva. That's what the Gemara says in Brachos, that a tefach is considered a erva. So Rav Moshe applies that to seir ba'isha erva. He says that applies even to seir, and that a woman who leaves out a tefach of hair, that would not be a problem. I mean, he doesn't encourage it, but he says a woman leaves out a tefach, but it's also... It's not, I think some people also misinterpret that. It's not like you take out a tefach of hair, but it's a tefach square. Meaning that if she already leaves out a little hair over here, this is already a tefach, because, you know, together they're going to form a tefach. You can't take out like this, leave this much hair out. That's already more than a tefach, because you have the whole area is now out. This whole area is left out. But Moshe said, applies tefach to each hair for even to seyar. And the other thing he says about whether a woman who doesn't cover all her hair. So there's a tshuva there that somebody wrote to him asking a husband's right, can he force his wife to cover all her hair? Because das, you know, meaning that mina Torah, she has to have a kalta. Das Yehudis, right, is that she has to cover more. The question, how much? Can she leave anything out? So there, Moshe writes back to him, aside from not that it's really her decision, covering up the hair and how she covers her hair is the woman's decision, not the man's decision. Right, that's number one. Number two, he also writes back, he questions the writers or questioners, you know, right, how chared he is on mitzvahs for himself, that he's being so chared on his wife, meaning that he's so worried about his wife coming here, does he, you know, what does he do? Does he go with a hat? Does he do, like, does he so makbid on
other every day?
Right, he was asking, but he was so questioning his hakpad on a mitzvahs that he's so makbid that his wife should be machmir, like all the shittos for covering his hair. He does ask that there, which is, you know, that's the big tumult in covering hair. So there is an aspect. You have to know that there's a das Torah, which is that she has to have a kalto. There's a das Yehudis, which extends even more than that, seems to cover. And then there's a minhag.
What's the first
thing? It's minatorah of covering a kalto. That's what the Gemara here says.
I mean, they have no answer for that. People who don't cover the hair for the kalto.
No, I'm saying it's kalto. It's misquoted. It's misquoting the Aruch HaShulchan. That's the biggest support people say, oh, the Aruch HaShulchan. But the Aruch HaShulchan does not say it's mutter to go pruri rosh. The Aruch HaShulchan says that if their people are going pruri rosh, it might have an impact on the fact that Seir is an erva. That doesn't mean that it's right. Mutter not to cover your hair anymore.
The kalto has nothing to do with erva, but you're covering, you know, right, not the whole, whatever, you're covering something.
Right, we don't know. The kalto, that's another thing in the Mishun, right, what helping is, right.
If it was because of erva, it wouldn't do anything.
Right, so that does give tokif to the minhag that women cover, you know, when they come to shul, they cover at least a portion of their hair, they do put on something, or women come to shul with their hair covered. So by the time, they cover their hair in shul, they don't cover anywhere else, right? So there is some impact because of the problems of davening in front of erva. So there actually is there's a...
Yeah, but they cover very little, I mean.
Right, but that might work midoraisa. I mean, kalta might help you midoraisa.
But that's assuming again that the kalta is because of erva.
Right. It's assuming that the two are connected, right? It might be that kalta is midoraisa covering, but erva might extend because she's really supposed to cover more.
It doesn't seem even from Shulchan that they connect, because he says today that they don't do it. He can't be talking about the Jews, because the Jews, if they're not, the fact that they're sinning, you know, if the Jews. You know,
no, we do have that in other places, like, for instance, wearing suits. I had somebody that's shilas about wearing suit. Can you wear a suit because it's chukas akum? It was the dress of the akum. So now you wear a suit. Why are you allowed to wear? That's like, you know, wearing like the going bederach emori, right? You're wearing the suits. The suit has no meaning. It's just a form of dress of the goyim. So how can it be mitam b'lehem? So it talks about that it's not. If the first guys who wore suits, that was a problem because they were mitam b'lehem. But now the Jews already wear suits. Right, then it's hofeched into something that is what even Jewish clothing. It's not just goyim clothing. It's Jewish clothing. So the first generation that did it, maybe they were wrong. But after that, now to say that you can't wear suit, michukas akum, that doesn't make sense anymore. Same thing there. You could say that women don't cover their hair. They may not be right, but they also might change the gedder of erva. And again, because it's not inherent erva. The erva is dictated by the women covering their hair. So they, even though they're wrong, they could still maybe dictate in this instance what erva is. Look, I'm not saying it's a big chiddush. This is a big chiddush in there. Shulchan is trying to be melamed tzchus. And why, you know, people daven still in front of these arayos. And again, it's misquoted as saying that he says that it's mutter not to go without covering their hair. That's the issue that's quoted the most for this. Now again, so there's three stages actually. There's das Torah, which is that she has a kalko. There's das Yehudis, which requires her to cover more of her hair when she's out in the shuk, the rabim. And then there's minhag hamakom, which is the third area, which is minhag hamakom. So you have certain things that midah arayos are considered erva. Second things that, excuse me, that are taken on like das Yehudis, which are widely accepted, meaning that all of Klal Yisrael does these. And then there's minhag hamakom. So then minhag hamakom can extend even further, meaning that's where we run into issues with socks, with double coverings on the hair and something like that, certain items like that. So whether those may not be mi'ikar alocha, they may not be a requirement, mi'ikar alocha, to cover one, to cover hair like that, to wear these items. But if the minhag hamakom is to wear these items, then already they take on a tokef of vera, and then you have to abide by the minhag hamakom. Right, but that doesn't mean it's inherently problematic, but you have to also take into account these items in the minhag hamakom. V'tovei b'shuk, so right now she can't twine in the shuk. Because when she's working in the shuk, she rolls up her sleeves, she rents, you know, meaning that she's doing it in a way that exposes herself more than she should. So because I've been made, v'tovei v'ered k'neged panel. So that here it's where she's twining a thread. Kineged panah. Kineged panah here is a euphemism. Panah means panah shalmato. Right, so she's threading a red thread down below near her erva area, and somehow that's going to attract attention to that area, which would be inappropriate. There are others who explain Verit Kineged panah would be that she does a red string which reflects on her face and gives a lighting to her face. Where is it? The Rabbeinu Hanano is the one who says that. And she uses red wool, and that, you know, gives some sort of reflection to her face and makes her more attractive or brings attention to her. But either way, the problem here is that when she's working the shuk, she's either exposing herself in an inappropriate manner or she's drawing attention to herself, which is not something that we want. So medaberetim kol adam, she talks to everybody. She's a social butterfly. This is not simply she's social, right? But rather what? That she's, you know, hanging around with the young guys. It's inappropriate where she's hanging out. I was walking behind Rav Ukva in the shuk. So this woman, Davi Yatva, she was sitting kashadya pilcha. She was throwing her pilcha, is like the spool, right? The string is on the tova, and she was twining vered keneged panel. And doing this red string, either against her face, meaning reflecting on her face, or connected panashal mata, euphemism. Came to Chazitinan, when she saw us, psikte, the pilcha, she cut the string, or she let it go, shadite, and threw it. Amrali, olam, havli palach, right? My palach, or whatever. Pelech, give me my, give me my spool. Like, she threw it away in order for him to bring it back to her. So Amar Ba Ravukva Milsa Mai. What's the story with this woman? So Amar Ba Ravina, Amar Tava, Amar Shadila Amramali Ulam Havli Palech. Amar Ba Ravukva Milsa Mai, Amar Ba Ravina, Ravina Amar Tava Bashuk, Amar Ba. Right, so what did Bar Ukva say about this woman? So he says, right, so Tova B'shuk, Amar Ba. So that she was a Tova B'shuk. This is the case in our Mishnah, and this is exactly what she was doing. Rabbanan Amri midaberetim kol adam amarba. What was the problem with this woman? Right? So was it right? So one opinion. So when we say the Abli Palech, so Amar Ba Rav Ukva Milsamai Amar Ba. So he says Milsamai Amar Ba Ravina Amar Tove Bashuk, that she was a Tove Bashuk. That was a violation in our Mishnah of Tove Bashuk. She was doing this red string connected panel. So Amar Ba Rabbanan Amri midaberetim kol adam amarba, that she was trying to attract the attention of Rabbi Bar Chana by throwing the spool to get him to, you know, kind of get him into a conversation or to attract his attention, and therefore her violation or her problem was that she was a midaberetim kol adam.
So Amar Rabbi Mila said that he said it's like our Mishnah, but he didn't say what part of our Mishnah.
Right. So is it Amar Ba Habli Balach Amar Ba? What was he saying when he said, you know, when he talked about her? So Ravina Amar Tava B'Shuk Amar Ba, Ravina Amar B'Dam Sim Kolad Amar Ba.
She said she's an example of Dasu Yudas, not Mishnah. He says, our Mishnah has many Dasu Yudas.
Right. What is it exactly that he meant? Exactly.
Maybe she had double hit her.
Right. Yavah Shalom Amar Afa Makalot Yildav B'Fanav, the woman who curses his children in front of him. Amar Rabbi Yudam Mishmol B'Makalot Yolidav B'Fnei Molidav. One who curses his children in front of his parents. I mean, Molidav, the one who gave birth to him, that's his parents.
His parents in front of his kids.
Right. His kids, right. His kids, I mean, the kids in front of their grandparents. Right. She curses, right?
His parents in front of his
grandparents. Right. His parents.
In front of his
the grandparents in front of the grandchildren. Right. Exactly. V'simaneich, and the siman is, Ephraim Menashe Ruven Yushimoni Yuli, that Ephraim Menashe will be like Reuben and Shimon, even though Ephraim and Menashe were already his grandchildren, they will be like children. Meaning, so it was as if she was cursing the children, right? So that's how you know, b'nei b'av k'banav, so it would be like as if she's cursing in front of him. Amar Rabba d'amar lei nichle arya l'saba b'ape b'rech. So that she says, I hope the lion eats your grandfather in front of the grandchild, in front of your child. You know, she's basically saying to the children, I hope grandma and grandpa get eaten by a lion. Right? So she's saying things that are inappropriate about her in-laws. She's somehow cursing her in-laws or speaking negatively about her in-laws in front of the children, in front of the grandchildren. So that's considered inappropriate. All right. Rabbi Tarfon Amar Afa Kolanit, a woman who's very loud. My Kolanit, Amar Yudam Rishmo B'Mashmed Kola Aliske Tashmish. Where she raises her voice when she's arguing with her husband about her entitlements or whether they should be together, so on and so forth, that she's talking about issues that are usually private, but she speaks in such a loud voice that the neighbors know what's going on in the house. When she engages in relations, then her voice is heard in another neighbor by the other neighbors. Rashi says Nishma Kola Shetashmish Koshel of Itzuaket. It's painful for her. Somehow it's painful or uncomfortable for her, and therefore the neighbors, she screams out, so the neighbors are hearing her and are aware every time. Again, it's a breach of her of the tznius, or what something that normally should be a private issue, that privacy is being breached by her screaming out. Either because when they discuss it, she talks so loud about it, or because she's in pain when they engage in relations, that her voice is heard, so they always know when they're having relations, which again would be inappropriate. So Gemara says, Nidne Agabi Mumim. So, if that's the case, right, that this should be a mum of a woman who screams, right, when she's having kashrus, that should be a mum. So Elam of Charta Kedashinim Merkara, that the problem here is that she's talking about relations and not screaming out, because otherwise it would be included in our Mishnah that talks about mumim, that postal by a woman. That's the end of our parak. It talks about which mumim are not acceptable for a woman. Right, next Mishnah. Makadesh Yedisho Menashe in Alea Nidorim. B'nimtzu Alea Nidorim. He's Makadesh on the condition that there are no Nidorim. And they find out that she has Nidorim. Eina Mekudeshet. It uproots the Kedushim Meikara because what? Kedushim was never Chal. It's not, it was not fulfilled, right? Okay, exactly. Kansastam. B'nimtzu Alea. What happens if he then has Nisuin, right? And then they find the Nidorim. So there, Teitzei Shalom Ksuba. Then she goes out without a Ksuba. Amanashe in Bamumim. If she says that it's a condition that she doesn't have any Mumim, but Nimsa Bamumim. Then they find she has a Mumim. Ain't a Mekudeshet. She's not Mekudesh, because again, like you said, a Mekatos, that the Kedushin never were Chal, because they didn't fulfill it tonight. Konsistam, afterwards he marries her as an assumed with her, and then he finds the mumim, she goes out without her ksuba. Any mum that is not acceptable for a kohen to do avoda, if he has this mum, so too by a woman would not be acceptable, again, for a woman, that either she's teitzei below ksuba, right, or that he would violate, meaning if he has a condition in his tenai of kedushin, that would uproot the kedushin if she has one of these mum. So again, we're talking about a time.
A kohen that's a lefty.
Right.
That's considered a mum that he can't do avoda.
That's not a mum. A kohen that's lefty can't service because there's a requirement of being a righty. It's not.
It's not
an inherent mum in the kohen, right? I mean, mum is something that.
I thought it was.
It is. It's something.
It did a mum.
It's actually a question. Yeah. So my focus is why a kohen lefty is puzzle. It's a question of a kohen lefty is puzzle because he. I mean, this would be a nafkamina. The nafkamina is, what you're saying is a nafkamina. What happens if a lefty kohen does his avoda with the right hand? Can a lefty kohen do avoda with the right hand and overcome the problem? If you say the problem is what you have to do, sherut means yad yamin, has to be done with the right hand, then maybe he could, if he just alters to do it with his right hand, he could be okay. If you say that it's an inherent mum, like your suggestion, which is possible, then even if he switches to use his right hand, the fact that he is a lefty disqualifies him from...
And have enough community for a woman.
What?
Obviously, we'd have enough community for
a woman. Right, we have enough community for a woman. I don't think... I mean, I would say it's harder here, but...
Right, that's my question. Do you think...
Right, even if you suggest it is a mum for a coin, that'd be a lefty, I think you could differentiate what type of mum. Meaning a mum that is, right, a physical mutation versus something that is, right, an external... A problem that he just uses left hand versus right hand. Now, back in their day, being a lefty was a very was not acceptable. Was really not acceptable. Lefties were shunned or looked down upon, right? So that's not. It could have been in their day being a lefty was something like, you know, horrible. That's one. And number two, I would note that in their day, remember again that a lot of times they did not see the woman or they didn't have a good understanding of the woman. You're talking about mumim, you're talking about here that a guy may not have...
Showed
up to the wedding. He doesn't know that she doesn't have, you know, she's missing three fingers or whatever. Like, those are things that he just, that he may not have just not been aware of or not known about. So you're talking about here, these things where, oh, he knows, all of a sudden he notices that she's mumim, you know, that's part of them are because they're mumim besaik there. But other times that even when they're otherwise mumim, he didn't really have a chance to know or to get a glimpse at it, right? Alright, but nami gavi kiddushin ki hai gavno. This Mishnah is the exact pullout in kiddushin. So what is it? Alright, so why do you need to repeat the Mishnah twice? Why did Rebbe bring the Mishnah once here and once in kiddushin? So where it says, Acha ksubos yitzrichlei, tana kiddushin ato ksubos. Over here we're discussing the issue of ksuba, that she loses her ksuba. So therefore they dragged along the kiddushin issue. Hatam kedushin itzrichle. Over there, they talked about kedushin. That the tonight in the kedushin. That's what that mission is doing about kedushin. So Tana Ksuba, so dragged along the Ksuba's aspect of it. So after kedushin, so each part of the mission is relevant to that mesechta. And once they brought the relevant part down to the mesechta, they also dragged along the part that was necessarily relevant to that mesechta. Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok. Be'elu nedarim amru. What nedarim are we talking about? That when he says that these nedarim don't work. Shlo tochal basar, shlo tishtayayim, shlo titkashet bevigdei tzivonim. She won't eat meat, she won't drink wine, she won't dress in colored clothing. Tanya nami ochi, be'elu nedarim amru. What nedarim are we talking about? Dvarim sheish mem inui nefesh. Things that deal with inui nefesh. What are that? Shlo tochal basar, shlo tishtayayim, shlo titkashet bevigdei tzivonim. So where it says, havi bo rapapa. So rapapa wondered, ahai. Right? On which part of our mission are we making this statement that these nedarim are a problem? Ilay mar resha, right? If you're talking about the first part of the mission, makes a tnai that she has no nedarim on her. Gave the cup. The fact that he makes a statement, I don't want any nedarim on her. I feel called milay nami. Then why should it be? Why should it be only limited to these items?
He says nedarim that has an impact.
Right. So ella aseifa. So that maybe it means on the seifa. So Ravashi amar leolam resha. Like you were suggesting, right? It's on the ratio. Mida the kapti banisha kavi kapeda kapeda. It's the things that normally people would work, would that get upset about these types of nedarim. That's what he intended. By nedarim, we always say that he's noder kilashon bnei adam, right? That he's noder like normal people would. So he's making it tonight that she doesn't have nedarim on him. We're going to assume, unless he explicitly states otherwise, we're going to assume that he is makbid on what people are normally makbid on. What are people normally makbid on? Things that are inu nefesh, things that have impact on the relationship or his wife's, you know, somehow her standing. That's what's kind of about
it. What was happening? Obviously, that's what it means. It means, you know, if she made a neder that she's going to finish the tefillin twice a day, you know, I don't care. I mean, obviously, it's things that have impact on.
No, but he might say, any roads of Isha Nidranis. That might be what the Gemara says in another place, right?
So maybe when a person, I don't know, from those letters, it means not because what she says, it's because the person is easy on the dorm, she's not my kai, I want someone who's in.
Right, he's
and
afraid.
No, and he said he has one letter because he doesn't want something that has impact his life. Doesn't
right, matter. That's right, exactly. I mean, the Gemara says, I don't want these problems because we know there's big impact if she violates the dorm. Right. It's something that I don't want to be involved in the dorm at all.
Okay, and then she, no, it's not the dorm.
Right, it's a din that shuwa. It's a kepedo. So what's the kepedo? It's kepedo. Midei the lo kavi ba'in shelo avi kepedo kepedo. So if people don't worry about the stuff, then it's not something that we worry about. Okay. All right. Just we'll read this line, but this is going to be the whole gemara tomorrow. But we'll start at least. Imar kitchal tonight. He had kedushin al tonight. V'kansestam. Then he took a rent. Rava mar tzrichay men a get. Then she needs a get. But he made the kedushin al tonight. Then he did the nisuin stam. So the question is, what happens at this point? Once he does Nisuin, does that mean that he's now undermined his Tanayi Kedushin, meaning that he's already accepted what it is, and Nisuin completes it? That's what Rav says, it needs a get. Shmuel Omar, ain't a tzricha mena get. She still doesn't even get, because the original Tanayi Kedushin still stands. The Nisuin Stam does not override, right, that which is...
It makes sense.
Right.
The assumption that he did not discover that his Tanayi was... that she was in violation of his tonight before he did the nisun.
All right, so this is a good question. So Amar Abai, lo tema tami de Rab. Don't say that Rab's reason is kevin shekonso stam achuli achle to the tanei. That when he went in and he took her in stam, that he was mochel on the tonight. That's not the reasoning of Rab. Ella tami de Rab lefi sheino demosa bileto biletznus. That's what that the person will not make his biila abiletznus. So even though. Right. Well, at the point of Nisuin, now he's already engaging with his wife, right? He's engaging attachments with his wife, or therefore, what? The two possibilities. One possibility is that his Tanai still stands by the Kedushin, right? And if his Tanai stands by the Kedushin, he's really not married to this woman. That means that he's having attachments with the woman, he's not married. So what you would say, then he says, oh, so a person would not be willing to accept that situation. He wants it to be that when he's having Bia, that it's a kosher Bia, it's not a Bia's Nus. And therefore, he lets the Tanai go. He assumes that he's married. And even though, what? It's not because he was a mechilo on the original Tanai, right? But it's rather, what? Because he does not want his status to, he wants his bia to be a bia kshera, right? So therefore, he doesn't allow, he says that the kedushin were a good kedushin. It's as if he...
So he has to be mochel.
What?
I mean, he has to be mochel in order to have any kids.
Why is that?
So,
oh, right.
It has to be. If you're not mocha, then it's
all right. So we'll deal with that tomorrow. It's a good shiloh. That's why you got big Tosfos here. A lot of Rishonim to do. That's where.
I got this from.